welcome to another episode of Stuck in My Mind podcast. I am your host, W-I-Z-E, and my next guest is a trailblazing entrepreneur who envisioned the power of the digital landscape long before it became a mainstream buzzword. Welcome to the show, Craig Cook. Hey.
Hey, thanks, Will. Thanks for having me here. And yeah, I was really enjoying those opening credits. That's cool. That's some slick. That's a slick music track too.
Thank you. That's one of my closest friends in the business, Cole Johnson. He made that intro and outro for me for this show and one of my other shows. So.
Oh, awesome. I can appreciate that. I'm a rusty musician. So that's a slick track. It's cool.
Thank you. So, all right, so let's just jump right into it. So can you share that pivotal moment that inspired you to start RhythmNet.com as a digital first company?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had two big passions at the time. One was music. Yeah, I was playing a lot of music at the time. I just got out of a band. And I've been out of college probably for about a year or so. And I kept getting online through America Online. You know, that was way back in the day. So this is the 20th century, everyone out there. So this is probably around 1995 or so. And I thought, wow, this internet stuff is really interesting. And it was all 14-4 modems, you know, with the funny sounds and everything. And one day when I was coming back from the beach, I stopped at this one computer store and I was looking at the magazines. And at the time there were CD-ROM magazines and there was this one, I think it was called MusicNet or something like that. So I picked it up. So, wow, this is cool. So I took it home, threw it in. And the CD had all these different bands that I had never heard of, you know, a lot of independents, and you can, you know, watch their videos and listen to their tracks. Wow, this is cool. So one of my college friends, we would get together to play music a lot, you know, write songs and everything. And I would say, hey, check this out. And then just we started talking a lot. And then just through discussing what was going on with the internet, it's like, wow, this would be a cool thing to do, to get music online. And then it'd be a really cool thing to do for other people. So just kind of one thing led to the next. And we just did it. And I had another friend as well from college that joined in. And so there's three of us, and you know, did some research at first and like, wow, this internet thing's going to be big. So in 1996, we started January 2nd, 1996. And then that's when we got our business license. And then we launched our site, rhythmnet.com, in May 23rd, I think it was, 1996. And it was cool because way back then, you could go to this site, discover independent artists and read about them. You can listen to song samples and then buy their CDs online through a secure server. Way back in 1996, in the 20th century, there was no MP3s. There was no broadband. There's only like 30 million people worldwide connected on the internet at the time. And everyone was afraid to buy stuff. you know, it was back then for those that are, you know, a little older like me, that they might remember those days. And the internet was just supposed to be one of those fad.
I remember dial-up and I was AOL and everything because I am older. So yeah. I remember when you said if anyone picked up the phone, it would kick you off the server.
So that's right. Yeah.
Kids today don't know the struggles we had to go through. And
oh, that's right. And then it would take forever to sometimes you just be watching the screen as an image kind of, you know, keeps formulating and take forever for just one image to appear. It's funny. In some ways it was very complicated then, but it was also very simple because everything is got increasingly more complex, and the company evolved over time. You know, music was how we started, but we adapted and made some pivots multiple times to become a digital interactive agency to create a whole multitude of services for companies.
So what were some of the first key challenges you faced in the early days of entrepreneurship?
Sorry about that. I had to make sure I put on do not disturb. I didn't know if that was your phone or mine. So, okay. So yeah, we adapt it a lot of times, and we can get into any aspects of the story that you want, however you want to, wherever you want to
go. So what were some of the first, like what were some of the first challenges you faced in the early days of RhythmNet?
Okay, well, at the time, way back then, had very limited resources. We started with $1,300 a piece, the three of us, and a computer. So very little money, very little resources. The industry was brand new, so we had like no connections in the industry. And then the market we picked, you know, the music market was just a challenge, because musicians, we were taking their music, putting it online to sell it, and you know, we would charge them to get them on there, and a lot of them would run out of money because they blow it all on making their CDs. And so that was like pulling teeth to try and get sales that way, and then try, you know, with limited resources. And there was just mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake that we made. But right around 1998, we realized, what happened was people kept asking us, hey, you know, this internet stuff, can you do a website for our company? Like, yeah, sure, why not? And then it was like, ding, 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 light bulb moment. Like, oh, wow, we can actually charge good money for the time that we're spending and you know, live. So we switched gears and kept the music thing going, but then started becoming like a web design agency for companies, working with small businesses, and then over the course of time. But that early on, that was one of the big challenges, just no resources, didn't know anybody, really didn't know what we were doing, and making mistake after mistake after mistake. Yeah, good times.
So, okay, so you actually made the Inc. 5000 list for five consecutive years. What was that feeling like? How was that feeling like, knowing that you made this list for five consecutive years?
It was cool. Well, making it the first year was like really awesome. It's like, wow, we made it. How cool is this? And Inc. magazine, they put on an awesome event. It was so fun that you a whole bunch of people show up, the other people that are on the list, and they make it a really big deal. It's like a 3-day event, if I remember correctly. Super cool to attend. So it was a really great feeling to get on there year one. And then year two is like, wow, sweet, we did it again. And then year three is like, wow, like so exciting. Each year was like, wow, this is incredible that we're still making it on here. Because actually, we made it 5 years in a row, and only 7% at the time, anyways, they told us only 7% of all the companies that make the list make it 5 years in a row.
So, wow.
Yeah, it was cool. We were very honored to achieve that. It was a really good feeling.
Awesome, awesome. So you're also an author, and the name of your book is Business Kung Fu. What principles do you advocate for mastering the art of business?
Right. So Business Kung Fu is a book that I wrote. I just released, but I started writing it about 12 years ago, actually. And the whole premise, to back up a step, I studied Chinese Kung Fu when I was age 17 to 25, and I learned a ton of lessons from it. For example, discipline, you know, really brought out the discipline in me. And when I started my company at the age of 25, I actually approached how to structure the company, my mindset around running the company, the day-to-day, discipline, perseverance. There's all these aspects of martial arts that I brought into my everyday activities of operating the business, making strategies, and being disciplined and having perseverance. Now, one particular aspect I would like to share and talk about that's in the book is, over the course of time, I realized, wow, there's a model called a five element theory in classic Chinese culture that applies to martial arts, but also applies to their health, the Chinese medicine, ancient Chinese medicine, and actually even spiritual aspects. And the five elements are fire, earth, water, wood, and metal. And I took that model and created my own five elements of entrepreneurship model. And the way I see it, and you know, everyone can have their own take or flavor on things, but this is the from my journey and my experience background, this is the way I see it. So let's say it starts with passion, right? That's an element. Now, passion leads to discipline, discipline being another element. Discipline leads to expertise, such as skills, like high evolved skills. So that's another element, expertise. Now, expertise leads to confidence, that element of confidence. And then finally, confidence leads to faith. And faith is super important because that's what gets you, they're all important, but faith is where your perseverance comes in, your spirit, your warrior spirit to get through the toughest of times. And it's a cycle that builds and goes through that order that I just described. But it could also, you could also go the other direction where it's a destructive cycle where you don't want to go that direction, you know, because it kind of, it's like an implosion because of your mindset. And that's a big thing about martial arts. It's mindset. My book, Business Kung Fu, is really at its core a mindset book. And it's geared towards entrepreneurs and business professionals to hopefully inspire and empower them to overcome challenges on their journey. That's the intent.
And it's amazing because those 5 points you brought up, and every single one you said, that was a step in my process of doing my podcast.
Awesome, right? It's the five elements of
just listening to you talk about passion. You right. have to have passion to want to do this, to want to do the podcast. And the next one was, what was the next one you said?
Discipline.
So you have to be disciplined here. You have to set a sky. I got a set schedule where these are my recording days. Then, right. The next one,
expertise.
I've learned a lot of different stuff doing my podcast. I've become edit video, audio, all this other right. stuff. So I've gained expertise from it. You said confidence. What was it?
Confidence. You're right.
Well, it took me doing it more and more, and the more I there was with each episode, my confidence grew.
Right.
And then
your skills got better.
Yeah, and then faith. Once my confidence started growing, and I truly started believing, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I'm supposed Perfect. To be at. So when you were saying them, I'm like, man. That correlates with my podcasting journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That's so validating for me. It's so cool. Yeah, and the way exactly what you just described, and if you don't mind, I'll elaborate. You know, it starts. I like to say it starts with passion. Now you can have any of these elements in this cycle, and we can get more into it. But let's say at the very beginning, it starts with passion. You have to have passion about something. Like when I started rhythmnet.com, it's a passion for music and a passion for technology and combining those two together to create something new. So with passion, it leads to discipline and it enables discipline because if you're passionate about something, you're going to want to go at it every single day. It almost doesn't really feel like work, actually. It really fuels discipline. Over time, though, you know, every day is not a perfect day and life throws things at you. So you have to maintain that discipline to, you know, to show up, right? But as you are disciplined and you're doing your activities, and like you said, you learned a ton of stuff because you are disciplined and you built up your expertise. You really started learning like what's the proper equipment I need to use. You know, this is how the show should flow. You know, there's probably some things that you learn that were stumbling blocks. Oh, okay. Well, that's all part of expertise, you know, becoming an expert. And then once you have that expertise, you start to feel good about yourself. You know, you start to feel more confident. Like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm an expert. I know exactly. Oh, here. I know how to solve this. You know, boom, 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 boom. And then, once you have confidence, then it's like, okay, yeah, I can do this. You start to have that faith, that belief in yourself, and hopefully, you know, a belief in a higher power. You know, not everybody has that, but I advocate that. But at the very least, to have that faith in yourself. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, it when you were saying them, I'm like, man, that sounds exactly like what I went through with starting my podcast and the journey that I'm on with my podcast. So it made sense to me.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, the book goes into more detail. And it can get really deep, but there's aspects, like I said, there's the creative cycle, the generative cycle that, you know, what we just discussed and talked about, how it kind of leads up through that, through those elements. And then the destructive cycle, which goes the other direction, because if you start to lose your faith, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Then you lose your confidence. Oh gosh, I don't know, right? And it goes that other direction. But then there's also interrelationships. And the big thing is to have all these elements in balance. That's the key. It's all about balance. Perhaps if we have time, we can get into it, but I also practice Chinese energy medicine. And balance is key when it comes to the energetic anatomy that's within us. And in this five element of entrepreneurship model, if an element is way out of balance, it can affect another element. So, for example, you know, we said passion to discipline to expertise to confidence to faith, right? Well, let's say confidence gets too much in excess, an excess condition of confidence, which now confidence in an excess condition, what does that look like? It looks like arrogance.
Yeah.
Arrogance, right? Ego gets super big and someone gets full of themselves. Oh, you know, I'm all this and blah, 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 blah. Well, in the book, there's this diagram. Now, here we go. I'll just show it real quick for your audience there. So you can see this like star pattern. And there's these inner relationships. So when there's an excess on that confidence, it has a negative impact on discipline, right? Which is over here in the model, because if you think about it, yeah, I'm all this. Yeah, I don't need to bother with that today because I'm that good, right? Well, if someone continues to have that arrogance over time, they're going to lose their skills. It's, you know, and yeah, you know, you see it like with say boxers or any sort of those competitions where the guy's at the top of his game and he's, you know, and all of a sudden the ego sets in, and then eventually someone comes along and humbles them. Right? Yeah. So it's about balance.
So you mentioned Chinese medicine,
energy medicine.
What got you into that? What led you down that path? What? Because I find that very interesting. I had a brother-in-law. He practiced Qigong, and
okay, great.
So
yeah,
Qigong. I know a little something.
cool. Yeah. So Qigong. I actually had my first exposure to Qigong when I was studying Chinese Kung Fu, but it was martial Qigong.
Yeah.
There's martial, there's medical and spiritual Qigong. And so I was exposed to the martial, and then there's like health and wellness type aspects that I was exposed to. But if we fast forward to, I think it was 2014, I found myself in this state of imbalance, just totally off center, totally out of balance with myself, mentally and emotionally. From the pressures of running the company with managing employees, client relationships, vendors, juggling family life, you know, young kids, just all the pressures of running a business. And I just wasn't myself. I was just off balance. A friend of mine that I had that other side project with that I mentioned to you when we were talking previously before we got on the air, he said, hey, you should go see this guy. I had this really interesting experience. It was really cool. And I looked him up and he did Qigong. I was like, wow, I wonder if he's the real deal, because that's not something you come across every day. So, and he just happened to be less than 5 minutes away from my office, which was very interesting, because if he was much farther away, I probably would have been like, oh, I'm just so busy, forget it. But he was so close. I went, yeah. So I went, had a great experience. And he does the energy work where you lay on the table and, you know, he's guiding and directing chi. Went back to him once a month for about 6 months. And then after that, suddenly I found myself feeling much more centered and balanced. I was like, wow, feeling really good. And then he asked me at that time, do you want to learn how to do this? And I was like, yes, like instantly, immediately. So I started studying in 2015 because it was such a game changer for me, just in the way I was feeling after the course of 6 months. So I really wanted to go deeper with it. And I always had a fascination with it anyways from my martial arts days. So I started training in 2015 and I've been at it ever since. And I conduct session work with a whole bunch of people. I've done over 800 sessions on over a couple hundred different people, a lot of professional people actually that come to see me, you know, because I can relate to them, you know, very well from my background. And I also enrolled into a program in a doctorate program for Chinese energy medicine last year. And I'll be finished with that program in August of 2024.
Awesome. So how do you incorporate all this into your business? How do you use this as part of your business as far as the discipline and everything?
Yeah, so with the discipline, that's something that, because of my background in the study, and it's just innate in me. So it's something that I'm just extremely disciplined, just always being productive. I don't like to waste time. Mm-hmm. And one aspect of discipline is showing up, you know, just making sure you show up, which sounds kind of funny. But, you know, some people, they don't bother to show up. You know, and they're like, I won't go in today. You know, I don't need to do that today. Yeah. It's funny, but you know, that's where people lack discipline. So that's like their first stage of discipline. And then there's other things too, where you really need to be effective. You know, it's one thing to show up, but you have to be productive, and then you have to be effective. You know, you show up. Okay, great. You showed up. That's part of it, right? Half the battle, I'll say. Well, now you got to be productive. Like, you know, actually do something and be busy and produce. And whatever you produce, it needs to be effective. So that's always in my mind with what I do. Showing up, being productive, and being effective. Yeah, that's what I mean. There's a lot of different things that I have going on, but I'm able to manage that mainly because of those three aspects of discipline.
In what ways do you envision the future of digital first companies, and what advice do you have for an emerging entrepreneur in the digital landscape? Because digital right now is booming.
It sure is. Yeah, it's interesting because when I started, you know, digital first wasn't even a term, right? And it was a digital first company we started. And I thought it was fast back then. It was like always something new, something every week there was something new technology or platform, you know, in the late 90s that was coming out. Well, it seems like that never ended. Like it's always super fast paced. So people that are getting into digital, wanting to open up their own digital creative agency or whatever the flavor of it is, just know that you're gonna always have to have this open mind of constant learning. And if you're good with that, if you enjoy constant learning, then that's great. You're gonna do well with that aspects of it because it's very fast. Things are constantly changing, and now with all the technology advancements, with the different programming languages, and then of course AI that everyone's talking about. The whole, and the fact too that a lot of people are working in remote distributed models, you know, everything is very flexible and fluid. And I think people, that's one thing I would recommend, that people make sure that they have a flexibility to them, you know, especially with digital, does everyone need to be in the office? There's positives and for that, where when you have high collaboration, you know, especially when you're building things, creating things, you know, it's very helpful, you know, being that magic of being together, it's effective. Is it absolutely necessary? No. You know, when we went into the lockdown, the pandemic, we went fully remote and it was not a problem. We were ready for it and it never went back. But yet we did great. We're just as profitable. It just wasn't a problem. So I think when these, in addition to that willingness to learn, that having a flexible mindset and then adaptability, like we changed our model a whole number of times because we had to over the course of time to really build something that was very successful, but we were highly adaptable, always evolving. So that willingness to learn, flexibility, and adaptability are really important if you're going to get into digital.
Yeah, definitely, yes. So how do you balance the fast-paced world of digital entrepreneurship with the mindfulness and energetic practices you incorporate into your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my Qigong practice is critically important for me. So normally I wake up early, yeah, before everyone else, so I can spend time for self-care. And that self-care usually involves my Qigong practice, which is the way that looks like is a series of exercises that are not hard. They're very simple movements for the most part, but Qigong integrates the mind, body, and breath. And there's just these simple movements like this, you know, works the lungs, for example, and there's certain types of breathing that goes with it. And movements. So it's like it can be very meditative. It's like a dynamic meditation is what you can call it. But then there's also static meditation where you're sitting. So there's a lot of meditation as well, the static meditation, and there's all kinds of different types of meditations for different purposes. So it's a combination of different Qigong exercises that purge, tonify, and regulate the energetic anatomy. And then also coupled with meditation for a variety of purposes. Manifesting is a big deal too. Utilizing meditation to manifest what you're looking to create is important. I advocate that from my experience, it works.
No, I'm like I said, I know a little something of it. I had a brother-in-law. He's still, I don't know if he's still into it, but when I knew him, he was highly into Qigong and he taught me a couple of things. And I'm naturally grounded. I'm naturally grounded. So when we would do the energy training and all this, he would try to move me. He would be like, "Oh, you kind of are grounded." So that's kind of cool.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could root.
I can root pretty well. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. awesome. Neat. Yeah. It's an amazing world. Once you get into it, it's just amazing. There's just so much more to our world and our environment than what our five senses are aware of. You know, and a Qigong practice or a yoga practice. You know, you had a gentleman on your show not recently that talked about mindfulness.
Yes,
and he was a big yoga practitioner. And I think that's awesome, and yeah, that was a very interesting show, and I like what he had to say. So that's the way I see it too. You know, just that is my flavor is Qigong. Yeah, that's what I gravitate towards. I respect yoga and like it. Mm-hmm. You know, Qigong is like, you know,
everyone has their path and has their. Mm-hmm. What they use to help them get that. For you is Qigong, and was it? I can't remember the guess, but for that person it was yoga and mm-hmm. and so me, I'm learning, and it's for me it's amazing. I love it because I'm learning so much from all these conversations, and so when like I really do want to start getting into yoga because it's I'm really I really need to start getting more flexible and really
getting
out there and doing. But
it's important to engage the body, and yoga is a great way to do that. So, you know, when a lot of people talk about mindfulness, and mindfulness in the workplace is a big trend, and it's great, but a lot of that focus is just, you know, on the mind, the mental aspects of it, and it really isn't enough. You know, as business owners, the stress and pressures, there's all kinds of these variety of emotions and conditions that can come about because of those. So, for example, nervousness. Oh man, am I going to make payroll? You know, this payroll period. I don't know. Wow, this is really tough. I've been there a number of times, and that can turn into anxiety. You know, really high anxiety. Actually, the most common thing that I see when people come to me for energy work is anxiety. And what really helps when you take on like a Qigong practice is that you're moving, you're engaging the body. And there's the exercises, utilize movements and the breathing and the mind together. But then there's also sound, because sound actually purges and discharges these negative energetic clusters, like say for anxiety, which resides in the heart. It breaks that sound, breaks it apart, it purges it. And then you're engaging the mind through visualizations of light, colors of light that help tonify the heart. And then you combine the two together, it's helping to regulate the energetic anatomy in the system, which does have an effect on our tissues. You know, you think of it as spirit, which is our thoughts and feelings, our emotions, affects the energy, the energetic matrix that's all around us and within and outside of everything. And then that energetic matrix affects the actual physical matter, physical tissues, physical matter. It can go the other direction too, but that's the theory of it. And that's why it's important to engage the body. Sitting and meditating is great, but it's not enough.
Okay. So going back to the rhythm band, to brand, what role does brand development play in the success of a digital creative agency? And how did you reposition the rhythm brand over the years?
Yeah, so brand positioning, development, branding, it's super important for a whole number of reasons. So our brand evolved multiple times. You know, started off as rhythmnet.com, then it went to Rhythmnet Design Group, then it went to Rhythm Interactive, and then finally we just eventually landed on Rhythm, just Rhythm, period. And there was different reasons along the way, but we got better right around when we repositioned ourselves as Rhythm Interactive. It was our first iteration of really defining our brand in a more comprehensive way. You know, before then it was kind of loose. When we did that, it really helped focus us, because then it was like, all right, we need to really go after more medium to larger companies, and we need to rebrand ourselves and reposition ourselves in the marketplace. So the way I like to look at branding, there's two major components. There's the verbal expression and then the visual expression. The verbal expression is what you're defining, what you stand for. You know, what are you all about? What's your purpose? What's your vision, your mission? You know, how are you going to fulfill that? What do you value? What's the personality of the brand, the characteristics? What are some values and some core messages, market-facing messages? There's all these different things that need to be articulated in the written form. And in 2004, it was the first time we really sat down to do that. And then over time, we kept refining it and really solidifying it to really be what we wanted to stand for, to be what we really set out to do and stand for. Also, the visual component needs to reinforce that verbal component. So in an ideal world, when you have the proper time and you can, and the resources to do it right, you articulate everything, the verbal expression, and then you go into the design mode and then start to work on, you know, the logo and the color palette, the fonts, all the different objects. And in the digital age, it's goes further because now you have form, meaning, and behavior, because you have movement, you have interactive elements. Whereas, you know, before digital, you know, television, radio, print, it was all just, you know, stationary. You looked at it, you didn't interact with it. So there was no behavior. There was, you know, form and meaning. With digital, you also have behavior. So, you know, what are those behaviors look like? How do they sound? You know, what's the feeling that people get from that? So these are all things that are important as you define the brand, and it should reinforce whatever that verbal expression as how that's been defined.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a long answer. Hopefully I answered your question. Oh, but no, it was great.
It was a great answer.
Okay, cool.
How does someone stay ahead of the industry trend, ahead of the industry trends and technology advancements to lead a successful digital first company?
Yeah, it's gets tougher and tougher, it seems, with all of these various changes. But for me, through my experience in the early days, you know, I was doing everything, and I just had the time to keep learning. But as you get busier, more clients, there's more demands on your time, and you have less time to do that learning. So you really need to build a team. And then you need to, with that team, you need to delegate to that team, especially when it comes to research and development, and charge them with that responsibility, and then do the check-ins with them. So the way my company was organized, we had three pillars: strategy, design, and technology. And there was a leader for each of those pillars. And those leaders were responsible for researching and finding what were the latest trends and technologies that were, you know, at the forefront of the industry. You know, so for design, it went from, gosh, what was it called? Skeuomorphic design style to the more minimalist flat design. That was a design trend. And my chief creative officer was the one that really helped shepherd us through that. Yeah, it wasn't me, because I didn't have the time. At that time, we had all the kinds of things going on. And he was the one that was able to do that. And then on the technology side, it was different platforms. Like, what were we going to, what content management system were we going to really use? Because we were using so many different ones. And I was like, you know what, we really need to bring it down to one core one, and then we can handle maybe another one or two. And through that research and development, you know, we landed on a .NET platform to do heavy, large, big websites for big companies. Stuff like that. It's really making sure that you build your team, you delegate, and then oversee, you know, do the check-ins, you set the goals, check in, how's it going, and then, you know, experiment, implement, and then, you know, once it tests out, then you adopt it.
Awesome. You said it took you 12 years to write your book, right?
It did, yeah. I started 12 years ago, and you know, I worked on it a bit at a time, but right around 2015, 16 is the decision was made, you know, time to sell the company. And it took a few years to get that done. And during that time, I touched it very little, hardly at all, actually. And then once the company was sold, I stayed on leading the company as CEO for three more years, or just over 3 years. And Yeah, I don't think I touched it much then either, just because there's just things were just so busy, especially when once the lockdown hit and everything. But last year, when I left, I had much more time available. I had a little over half of it done, so I was like, I gotta finish this. So I got it done.
So what advice would you have for someone who's inspiring to write a book and just they feel stuck? Like 12 years is a long time, but like you said, you were very busy and everything.
Yeah.
What have your experiences writing a book? What kind of advice would you have for someone who would want to write a book?
Well, the first thing is like, why do you want to write a book? For me, actually, books were my first passion. And I remember when I was probably around 17, 18, I always thought to myself, yeah, I want to write a book someday. I didn't know on what, but I just wanted, had that desire. And then it was 12 years ago when I was like, hey, I want to write that book that I've always wanted to write. So, and I came up with the concept of Business Kung Fu. And it was like, well, why? I want to share. I want to share with people to help, hopefully help inspire and empower them. That's the intent. So like, why are you writing a book to begin with? Is what's the purpose? And is it purely out of passion, which is great. Is there some other purpose behind it? So there's that, there's the purpose. And then two, the discipline comes in, but then also persevering, sticking with it. 12 years was a long time, probably a lot longer than many. A lot of people take
Few
probably at least
years,
a
yeah.
year though, or a couple of years, few years, but 12 years is a long time, but I didn't give up on it. I was always in my mind like, oh, yeah, I got to get that done. But it was a matter of priority. And as soon as I had the time available, like, okay, finally I have the time available, moved it up the priority list and knocked it out, got it done. So it's that purpose, discipline, and perseverance.
Oh man, this has been wonderful. This has been a great conversation.
Kind of thing. It's all mindset. At the end of the day, it's mindset.
It is. But now we've come to the part of the show where you get the solo screen and you get to plug away and let everybody know where to find you, websites,
Oh,
Instagram,
okay.
everything.
Cool. Well, thank you. Okay, so everyone out there, again, my name is Craig Cook. Thank you for your attention today. And my website is csquaredpro.io. So the letter C and then squared spelled out, pro, P-R-O, dot I-O. You can also find me on LinkedIn/in/Craig Cook, Twitter, Craig Cook, Instagram, Craig Cook. I was lucky enough to get on those platforms early on. TikTok, I think it's C-squared.777. But if you just do a search, you'll find that my book, Business Kung Fu, is available on Amazon in Kindle, paperback, and hardcover formats. You can also go to my website and download the first chapter for free. You just have to fill out a quick little form, and you get the first chapter for free. And if you like it, then great, have at it. And once you get a chance to read it, I definitely would appreciate a review. Reviews help on Amazon a great deal. It's my first book so far. Great feedback, 5 stars, and I'm excited and happy to receive any feedback from you. And if you want to reach out, feel free. I'm happy to share.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. The website is in the description. So if anyone's interested, you can find it in the description of the show. Thank you so much for being a guest. This has been great. I love having these conversations. I love doing my podcast. This is why I love doing the podcast, is being able to learn and speak to amazing people like yourself. And like, you've been at the forefront of this from the beginning. Like you've been you're one of the OGs in the digital space. So it was actually great to have you on to talk about everything we've talked about. And thank you. This has been amazing.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. It's great. You do a great job, and I'm happy to be here and appreciate you having me on your show.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But don't leave just yet. Let me close out the show. We'll chat a little bit more off the air. But thank you once again for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Great show. Shout out to everybody who tuned in, who left a comment. Shout out to my man, Ben Sutherland III from the BS3 Network for stopping by and showing some love. My man, Drew Willingham came by and said, that's a great mindset on being productive. Craig has a great mindset, and he dropped some great nuggets on the show. So thank you, D. Willie, for stopping by. And you'll definitely have to show up. Absolutely, Drew. You definitely have to show up in order to succeed. You have to be there. You have to be present and really show up. But thanks, everybody who showed up in the chat, and appreciate the support. So now, shout out to my Real Wives fam, Poppy J, Brandy J. Love you guys. Shout out to the Boss Lady. Love you and appreciate it. You appreciate everything you do for me and the motivation and for pushing me as hard as you do. Shout out to Craig Cook for coming through and dropping some great nuggets and dropping some great tips for you guys out there. And as always, a big, big shout out to all the essential workers out there. God bless y'all. Be safe. You know how your boy Wise does it. Peace out.